Well, praise the Lord for the young people that are on fire for the Lord. I have the privilege of serving alongside of them and seeing them grow up. Is this thing on now or no? Which one's on? This one's there. Okay, there it is. And I'm privileged to work with these people here, and they have great parents. And I just thank the Lord, seeing a lot of them, actually just about all of them here, there except Scott, grow up here in the church, and praise the Lord for that. And that's what it's all about. It's about reaching the next generation and not just having them and then they turn 18 and go away and never to see them again. The average church, Independent Baptist Church, also lose over 80% of their young people. After they graduate, they'll never don the doors of the church again. And our numbers are not perfect here at our church, but we keep the majority of them, not because of the staff here, but because of the Lord and because of great parents like those that are sitting in here. We thank the Lord for you. Thank the Lord for our pastor. He's out of town here, and he's probably watching online here, or maybe he's preaching. He's preaching at an Indian reservation right now. And Pastor, thank you for investing in the young people and allowing them to serve. If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 3. It's bad when I come in, I had to change my font, Brother Pineda. And then I still got to wear my glasses. I had to change my font. And my preaching font now is 14. And I used to be at 10 font. With my scripture 7 font, and now I am at 14 font, and I don't know what's going on here, but I guess my eyes are getting not as good. My body still, or my mind still thinks I am younger, but my body tells me I'm almost 50, and just imagine that, coming over here many, many years ago in 91, just coming to church here, and was at in awe of the church where it was and seeing pastor and thinking, what in the world is this? The church entrance was in the alley, and then we see the Lord's blessing, and we have a beautiful building. Thank you, church, for catching the vision. And I have the privilege of taking some of these young people out to the mission field. It's probably one of the highlights of my year. We're going to go by and see Brother Kong, and on Saturday when we go, a Saturday we have a village church. What village is that, Brother Adrian? Fong Fong. Yes, that's close enough. And then on Sunday we go to Brother Kong's church, and then we'll cross the river. You have to take a ferry to get there, and when you think of a ferry, it's not a ferry like we have. There's a little teenager running it. I think he might be 12 years old. And Brother Adrian's like, I asked him when I went to preach there before, is this thing safe? He said, oh, yeah, it's real safe. I said, you know what? I'm going to get out of the car. I'm going to step outside. I'll just wait outside over here and cross. But we crossed. And it was fine. The place was jam-packed. Jam-packed, that place, Brother Kong. He's doing a great job. We're going to go there. I'm excited for our young people to get there and our adults that are going with us to see the work there. And then Sunday night, we'll go across the border from Laos up to Brother Tongdi's new work in Thailand. Looking forward to having Sunday night church there, Monday passing out tracts and being involved with the ministry there and helping Brother Tongdi in that new work, getting that ready and being a part of that and inviting people. Looking forward to that, and thank the Lord for our pastor, letting our young people see that. And sometimes we pray for laborers, and that's all we do, but we don't put the vision out for our young people. The Bible says, my eye affecteth my heart. And that's why we take these trips. That's why Miss Mary went over there. And these trips help the young people to see the need. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And we have laborers here, wherever God, I tell our young people, I don't care what God's called you to do. God's not going to call all these young people into full-time Christian service, but God has called all of them to serve him full-time in a church or whatever. Whatever God calls them to do, find it and do it, whether that's just regular somebody in church and supporting the work of the pastor here, the work of the Lord here, under the guidance of our pastor and lifting up his hands, or going out to the foreign field like Brother Adrian, Brother Vinod, and some of these men, Brother Savani, there in taking his survey trip there in Cambodia right now. Proud of those guys there. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7. And the Bible says, unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife. By the way, husbands, you know this story. We often listen to our wives. And that's why, wives, make sure you walk with God and know what to say to your husband. You could lead your husband to the right path, if you will, or you can kind of divert him and give him a sour taste for what Christianity is all about. And we understand the man is the head of home. We'll talk about that in a minute here. But the Bible says he hearkened to the voice of his wife and hath eaten of the tree of which I've commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. The Bible says, cursed be the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till the returning unto the ground, basically till you die. For out of it thou wast taken, for thus dust art thou, and unto dust shalt thou return. Adam called his wife Eve, because she is the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord make clothes of skin and clothe them. See what happened? They put their clothed themselves with fig leaves. And you say, well, what did Adam and Eve, what kind of fruit was in the garden? We understand that there was fig, because they clothed themselves with fig leaves and that would deteriorate. It took no blood sacrifice. And God, the Bible says, took an innocent lamb. That's the first sacrifice, the first killing in the Bible there, and sacrificed it in an innocent animal and took the covering to cover the shame of Adam and Eve, picturing what Christ would do on the cross for us. And to the Adam, verse 21, and to his wife did the Lord give, Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, a man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. Now let us put forth his hand and take of the tree of life and eat and live forever. And take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which it was taken. So he drove out the man. He said, get out of here. I don't want you to eat the fruit of life. You're going to live in sin forever. I don't want you to live in sin forever. And he placed in the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword from which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Turn to 1 Timothy, please. Verse 5. I want you to look at one more scripture and then we'll... I won't have you turn anymore to any scripture. You can just write it down. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, you should have it on your hand out there. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, the Bible says he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. This is talking about the provider of the home. Let's pray together. Father, we pray, Lord, you bless these next 25 minutes or so that we have together. Help us to be in tune to your word, Lord, and help us to get something that will help us from your Holy Spirit, Lord, to be better Christians. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Culture has disregarded the importance of the husband in the home. From primetime sitcoms, popular cartoons, and mainstream media and society, the husband has been vilified, memed, or at least have been made non-essential. You see sitcoms now, the husband just comes home and the kids are in charge. Let me say this, the kids should not be in charge of your home. And the kids are in charge and they set the agenda and the mom is a loudmouth person that just the husband is sick and tired of and just, man, I want to get out of here. But the Bible speaks about the importance of a husband. Husbands are the important, are an important structure of the family. The Bible states that they are the head of the home, the provider, the protector. To name a few, This doesn't mean that the ladies are inferior. This doesn't mean that ladies are of less importance. It just is the order that God has established. God has specifically placed the man in as the head of the home. Let me say this, men. We have a big responsibility. We have a humongous responsibility. God has tasked us in this institution, the most important institution that he has established, the home, to be the leader of that home. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, we just read, God established a relationship between you spiritually and you practically. He is saying that you are as spiritual or as practical and likewise, you are as practical as you are spiritual. God wants us to be spiritual, but he also wants us to be practical. Men, God wants us to know how to do things and not have our head in the sand and be wise about the family. We have so many people in society, they don't know how to lead their family. I was cutting my hair and barbershop talk. And these people are talking about how hard it is to rear the children this generation. And it is. It is hard. It's not easy. And they talked about they're telling each other about all the problems they have with their young people. Heard of a guy recently, I told the story here in the college, a guy that was super upset and he was drunk. He went out. He said, man, I'm sick and tired of living. I'm sick and tired of my relationship with my children. I'm sick and tired of fighting, always fighting with my wife. I don't understand how somebody can live like that. To go home, and that's not a home. It's not a place of love, but it's a place of contention, a place of strife, a place of heartache. Let me say this, Pacific Baptist Church. Make sure your home is not that type of home. Amen. When you go home, it should be a refuge. It should be a place where you enjoy your kids, should enjoy being there. Now, having said that, that doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. That doesn't mean that your marriage is not defined by what problems you have. It's how you handle those problems that define your marriage, what biblical principles you apply to your life so you can get out of those problems. God clearly states that a man should provide for his own house. Let me say this. If he doesn't, the Bible calls him a person that denies the faith or denies the Lord. Basically, he's saying you're just like an unsaved person. God has distinguishedly made us peculiar or different. We should be different from the unsaved world and how we rear our children and how we have a family and how we love our family and raise our family up. And a lot of times we have good men and good people, please pay attention, but we've never been taught. I was somewhere, and I had my son with me, and they said, I've known him for quite some time. I've known him since I was in ninth grade. And they said, man, your son is big now. I said, yeah, he's bigger than me. He's uglier than me. That's just how it is. I'm kidding. But he's bigger than I am. And you know, my children, they try to be well-behaved when they're in public with us. At home, it's a different story. But in public, they try to make us look as good as possible. And she said, man, how do you do it? Your kids, they come, they sit down, they respect you. And, you know, I have a 21-year-old, and my youngest is 15. And we have had them every 2 years, I believe. And how do you do it? I said, man, I really, it's all God. It's all the teaching here at our church, from Pastor Esposito to Pastor Myers to different people that have come here that Pastor has gotten us in tune with and got teaching here in our church, and say, man, the family is important.
Yep. Amen.
But the most important unit in the family is the father, is the dad. Single guys, let me say this. You're important. You need to learn how to be a father right now.
Yep.
Newlyweds, let me say this. Learn how to be a father right now and the leader of the home right now. I'm so glad that when I was single, Pastor preached and taught on it. And I didn't. I went into marriage having learned some things already, and I was kind of above the or in front of the race, if you will, in that area, because our teaching here in our church was so superb on the family and our marriage. The best time to learn about marriage is not when you get married or after you get married, but before you get married. Man has three parts. Guys, you are important, the most important person in that home, that institution that God has established. You are the leader. But man is made up of three parts: the body, the soul, and the spirit. The body is the physical part. The soul is the emotional part. And the spirit is that which represents our relationship with the Lord. A husband and a father are responsible for all three for his family. He's to provide physically for his family. Go to work. Provide physically for your family. And let me say this. And it's not just physically, husband. I know husbands that all they do is work. And they never spend any time with their family. And they try to buy their family off by elaborate gifts. Dad, they just want you sometimes. You to spend time with them. You to go to their ball games. Look, I go to my son's ball game. Some of this year has been bad that Brother Tim's coaching, and we have a good team. And sometimes we go over there. I'm thinking, why am I watching this game? We're blowing them out by 60 and 70 points. It's not like we're just. And I'm sitting there, okay, when is this thing over? Let's go get dinner. Let's go home. But you know what? I go. Why? Because my son is a part of it. I go to a volleyball game, yeah. And you know, the volleyball team does not need a coach. You need an emotional counselor. I'm crying and this and that. I'm thinking, man, lucky I'm not the coach. I'll be ripping their face left and right, up and down. Ah! But, you know, my wife is a little bit more tempered than I am, and she encourages them. They boo together. They need that. I'm not like that. But a husband's not just to provide physically for their family, but we ought to provide emotionally and also spiritually.
Amen.
Those three things are important as the provider of the home.
Yes,
you're responsible, Dad, for all three. Husband, you're is responsible to your wife for all three. It's not enough just to provide physically. It's not enough just to make money for your family. It's not enough just to go to work, though that's a good thing. But you have to provide emotionally and spiritually.
Yes,
husbands are an important part of the structure of the home. Let me ask you this. Father, husband, single man that is going to be a husband one day or a father one day? How are you preparing, and how are you, if you're a husband or a father, how are you in that area right now? Are you growing? Are you adding to your faith virtue and virtue knowledge, or are you just cruising? Do you know what biblical principles and characteristics that you're maybe weak on and try to get strength in it? See, a smart person is not a person that knows it all. A smart person is somebody who knows that they're dumb, but they seek to find help so they can be smart. A wise person seeks to pinpoint God's principles and to put them into action. I'm just going to give you a couple of characteristics of a biblical husband. I want you to listen. Young men, if you're not married, take these notes down. It'll help you to prepare to be a husband. Husbands, it'll help you to be the best type of husband you ought to be. Again, you ask my wife, I'm not the perfect husband, but we ought to grow in that area. Number one, the man should provide for the physical needs of his family. I mentioned that. It's done by working. The Bible says, and the Lord in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Let me say this, guys. It's not normal for a man to sit around at home and do nothing. Let me say this. If you're married and you don't have a full-time job and you're playing games at home, shame on you. I don't think we have anybody like that. But you know what? It's important. We have children, we have a wife, we're married, you are the provider of the home. Get out and work. It's not the government's job to take care of you. It is your job, with God's help, to take care of that family. I think I might need to move on, but we have good working men here. I thank the Lord. Every man should have a job. Matter of fact, some of us, if we're struggling, we ought to have two jobs, even if it's a minimum wage job. You know what happens? When we sit around and do nothing, we are susceptible to sin, susceptible to temptation, susceptible to do wrong, and susceptible just to wasting time and doing nothing. That's what we're doing. Get out and make something of yourself. Don't wait for somebody. Oh, man, I can't get a job because of this, that, or the other. It's something called this. Are we ready? Go out and put in applications. Go out. What you spend in all day, if you don't have a job, should be spent putting down applications. And going out and do that. That's responsibility. You need to feed your wife. You need to feed your kids. Don't wait for a government subsidy. Every man should have a job. Every man should work hard at that job. Man, let me say this. You have a job, you ought to be the best worker that that company has. You ought to work the hardest. You ought to work the longest. You ought to work the best. You have to be efficient. Why? Because you represent the King of Kings. Go out there and work hard. A husband needs to get out of the house and work. Let me say this. During COVID, it was great being home. My wife got mad at me. She said, "Hon, you keep leaving the house." I said, "I can't stay home all day. I need to do something." Every Saturday, I bought myself a little boat. Why? We usually go visiting. So I bought a little boat, and my son and I, we couldn't be anywhere. Okay, let's go together. Go fish. Went fishing almost. I couldn't visit anybody. Went by. I needed to do something. Men, God has created you to conquer. You need to get something done. Go out and do something. Say, it's just hard. Go out and mow lawns. Clean pools. Stay busy. Do something. And you know, most of the time we stay home. These guys stay home and complain about how hard it is and not go out and experience how hard it is going on. David sinned with Bathsheba because he was sitting around the house doing nothing. Just sitting there, and all of a sudden, he gets up. Oh, look, somebody's over here bathing. The man has to have not only work hard, the man should have an honest profession. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3, verse 14, and let ours also learn to maintain good works. The word good works there means honest work for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. We need to have an honest trade. Look, I remember a guy who was in my Sunday school class. He was struggling. Brother John, he was struggling financially. He said, "Brother Nate, I used to make a lot of money." I said, "Man, what did you used to do?" He said, "You really want to know?" I said, "Yeah, I really want to know." "What did you used to do?" He said, "I used to sell dope." He's like, "The building program's coming. I know where to get." I said, no, let's not do that. God's not going to bless that. Have an honest profession. He said he's some type of botanist. He knows how to grow stuff and do it at his house and in the field and everything like that. Have an honest work. You say, selling crack. Selling marijuana is legal now. Go talk to Pastor about that one. Number two, the man is to provide the spiritual needs for his family. I had mentioned that. The spiritual needs. Husbands, be a spiritual leader. Ephesians 5, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. This doesn't mean a husband is better or more important. This is just the order that God has established, that the man is the head of the home. Let me say this. My wife's a lot smarter than I am. She graduated pretty good honors. I barely graduated. I'm not ashamed to say she's smarter than me. But God has placed the man as the head of the home, not because he's smarter, not because he's better, but that's the order God has established. Lead your home. Some men want to lord over their home instead of leading it. Leading takes servant, take becoming a servant. Leading is not coming from the back and say, "Hey, go, I need you." No, it's coming up to the front and saying, "Follow me as I follow Christ, family." Let's do this. I believe God wants us to do this. That's why, fellas, it's good that you know your Bible. It's good that you walk with God. It's good that you know biblical answers and how and where to get those biblical answers from. If your child comes and asks you, hey, what's going on? How can I do it? Do you have some answers from them from the Bible? It's important. The Bible says that we ought to be spiritual leaders in the family. Provide rules for your family. Make sure you establish those things. It's like this. A lot of us, we do the funnel method for our children. You let when they're young, you let them do whatever they want, and you child center them. I don't know if you guys understand what that is. Most of you do. If you've been to our church for a long time, you child center them and you give them all this freedom. And the funnel is big, and then all of a sudden, as they get older, you tighten it and tighten it. No, you can't do this. No, you can't do that. Let me say this, Dad. Let me say this, Mom. You done almost lost the kids already. Tighten them when they're small and establish good biblical principles in their life and biblical values in their life, and teach them why we do this. Teach them why we don't dress like this. Teach them why the Lord's not honored for this. And as they get older, the funnel widens, because those beliefs become not mom and dad's belief, but their beliefs, because they're biblical beliefs. Provide rules for the home. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs chapter 4, it says the same thing. Hear, ye children, the instruction of the father, and tend to no understanding. The father is to lay down rules and boundaries for the family. Let me say this, fathers. If you want to lay those rules and boundaries for the family, you have got to lead and to go by those rules also. It's hard to do what I say. The kids will follow when you do what, I can't even get that right. It's good not just to say it, but to do what you say also. Don't do as I do as I say. That's what where I was going to go. This doesn't mean that if you set the, by the way, set rules that make sense and make sure they understand those rules. When my wife and I, when we first got married, we established some things in our home. We sat down, we said, okay, what did we do? This, what did we do? This, what did we do? That. And we're a team on that. Husbands, wives, make sure you're on the same page in that. Mom, don't allow the kids to do stuff when you know dad's not going to be for it. Some moms do that, and you are going to ruin your children. Mom, dad, be a team and raise those children together. You got to keep, not only provide rules, but keep wickedness out of the home. It's a responsibility of the husband to keep the world out of the home. The Bible says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. Keep your house pure and clean. Dad, keep alcohol out of the home. Oh, it's just for, you know, my family when I come. They may not be saved, but let me say this. How good of an example are we if our loved ones, our family that are not saved, they come to our house and they're allowed to drink and they're allowed to party and they use our home, which should be sacred, to raising your kids right, to do things like that. Keep alcohol away from the home. Keep sin out of the home. Keep wickedness out of the home. Next, the husband is to provide the emotional needs for the family. Many wives are dissatisfied because their husbands do not provide emotionally for their wife. The husbands don't provide emotionally for their daughters. Let me say this, guys. If you don't provide emotionally for your wife and your daughter, somebody will. Somebody will. And I want to encourage you, be there for your wife. Be there for the girls. Be there for your children and provide that for them. And sometimes you have to cry with them. And sometimes you have to be with them to explain different things and some hard times. But be there with them. Love your wife. Love takes time. Love takes action. And love is not silent. It's hard sometimes where parents... It's okay. Remember before you were married, you said that? Keep saying it.
Yeah.
I'm going to embarrass my wife here. My kids are, I got two adult children and two teenagers. And sometimes I would give her a little kiss and they get all embarrassed. Like, oh, Dad. And they smile and laugh about it. I'm like, hey, before you guys came, it was me and Mom, all right? But love your wife. Tell them that you tell her that you love her. Tell your kids that you love them. Love takes time. Love takes action. Love is not silent. The Bible says, husbands, love your wife. This is unconditional love. Well, if you do this, 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 and that, then I'll love you. No, love them unconditionally. When they make a mistake, love them. You don't have to accept their sin, but you can accept your children, your wife. Love them. Love your children. Spend time with them. Know their likes and dislikes. Know their needs. Let me say this. Win their hearts, parents. Amen. Win their hearts. Let me say this. Win it early. Let me add another one. Win it often. And if you haven't right now and it's weighing, it's drifting, win it now. Amen. Once you lose their hearts, you will lose them. And your influence will be none, zip, and zilch. My children, as they get old, I still want to influence them. Whether they're married or whatever, I'm not going to dictate them. If the girls, they marry a guy, that husband is the head of the home. But I want to be open. When they need help, I'm here. I want my relationship with them to be where when they're in a bind, they know they can call Dad. And they know they can call Mom. Love your children.
Yeah.
Dads, you are important. You're important here to the church. We will have a strong church when we have strong men. Men that work hard. Men that love their family. Men that provide not only physically for their family, but emotionally. And men that are trained to help your families spiritually. Let's be that type of man. Let's pray together. I kind of preached to the men today. But ladies, that man can't be that way if you don't allow him to. If you don't cheer him on, if you don't encourage him. And we have so many ladies that their men, the husbands are trying to do right and trying to take a step, but they're not that fast. And then the wife's nag and nag and nag. Let me say this. Instead of looking at his faults, encourage him when he does right. Every effort of right, praise him and lead him along. I want to encourage men. Let's be the husbands and the dads that we ought to be. Wives, let's encourage our husbands. Love them, honor them, respect them, and follow their lead as they serve the Lord. Father, we thank you for your goodness, Lord, and we pray that you just bless this time. Help our men to be men that love you, men that are honest, men that have integrity, men that have a pure heart, men that love their wives and husbands, that love their children, Lord. We pray, Father, that you just be with us and be with Pastor as he comes back to us here and give him safety as he travels. In Christ's name, amen.